Lee Morgan takes the first solo on the Double Up, also featuring Jackie McLean on alto sax, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, Cedar Walton on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Billy Higgins on drums. This is from Morgan's 1966 album. Yes, I go all the way back there. The 1966 album titled Charisma. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and there's only one real story to talk about in the news today, and that is the start of the long-awaited, the long-anticipated, the controversial trial in Missouri, in Minneapolis, Missouri. And let's get to that. I'm going to locate my notes faster than I usually do. Oh, great. Well, the intention was there to locate my notes, but they disappeared before my very eyes. How about that? I'll get them back, though. Here they are. So, as I said, all eyes are on a Minneapolis courtroom today as the trial of ex-cop Derek Chauvin, charged with killing local resident George Floyd during a violent arrest on May the 25th last year, begins with opening statements by prosecutors and the defense. Chauvin faces manslaughter, second-degree murder, and third-degree murder charges in Floyd's death. He and three other officers responded to a call that Floyd allegedly had used a phony $20 bill to make a purchase at a neighborhood convenience store. Floyd was to be arrested and taken in for further questioning. He protested his innocence and put up some token resistance, nothing really out of the ordinary that you would expect when somebody who doesn't want to be arrested is in fact arrested. So he, in that sense, put up some resistance to being arrested. But videotape showed Chauvin reacted forcefully, pressing his knee into Floyd's neck and choking off his air supply for about 9 minutes. Floyd went limp and was unresponsive when an ambulance arrived. We've been following the case, and as you are aware, it took several twists and turns even before it got started, with the defense wanting a change of venue and some greater say in the choice of jurors, the city council moving in the vacuum and announcing that it had authorized a settlement of $27 million with the family of George Floyd, which was the reason that a change of venue was called for or was asked for. It did not materialize. A judge did not okay it. So it is beginning where it was intended to start in the first place, which was in Hennepin County, which is where Minneapolis is located. I want to ask today, what, since you've been following the case, I'm not necessarily, you know, religiously, but you've been following the case closely enough to have some concerns about what is about to happen and what might happen throughout the trial And even you may have some ideas about how this case might end. That's where we're going today. I'd like to ask you to concentrate on that. What do you think the case would, how do you think the case would end? What do you think would be the vital issues raised? For what purpose or to what end would these issues be raised in the case in order to persuade the jury to vote one way or another? And to talk about the most significant aspects of the trial in your view. Of course, we'll come back to this trial, which is it is estimated would take at least a month before it ends. So we have a lot of time to track the progress of this case in the court. 888-874-4888 is the number to call to get started on the question today. What is this trial meaning to you? What are you looking for in this trial? What do you think will happen? Things like that. What do you believe will be revealed in this trial? 888-874-4888. Let's see if we have anybody on the line yet. I keep doing this to myself. I keep messing up. But okay, I'll get it together. All right. So the case started officially today, and we will follow it as it goes. But even now, before the formal start of the trial, I mean, it is started technically with the statements by the prosecutors and by the defense attorneys. Making their summary of, or presenting their summary of what the jury ought to watch out for in this case, and based on that, render a verdict at the end of the trial. But certainly you have some ideas, you have some opinions about this case. It took a while to come to trial, but not in the case of a high-profile trial like this, it's not unusual because there are all kinds of elements involved and people are scrambling to get to sway the case one way or another. These things eat up a lot of time. And so finally, here it is. It is the day for opening statements, which means the trial officially begins. And I'm asking, and I'd like you to think about it, what for you are the more or most important elements in this trial going to be? Daryl from I don't know where. Is it Darrell or Daryl?
Well, once I stop muting myself, it's Daryl from the Bronx, you trees, and I'm looking for a remote.
Okay, Daryl from the Bronx. Sorry, I didn't get the other part of. I got Daryl, but I didn't see where you were calling
from. The Bronx. I ask your forgiveness. I'm having one of those days.
Well, forgive me too. I'm having one of those. I'm having one of those years. Thanks for calling in.
What I find fascinating about the little that I'm following on this case is the focus is on the one video that everybody focuses on, the almost 9-minute video. Do you remember a showing of the video from the store when they walked him across the street?
No, I didn't see that yet.
Okay, I'm not clear that it's still up on YouTube, but take a look at the store video. So if in fact. And the other thing that's very chilling is I find very few people commenting on why it takes 9 minutes to subdue someone and put him in a police car. And when he was on the ground, the commentary of the people around was, "You're killing him." You know, and there was the police officer who was preventing anybody from approaching, and then the face of
So let me back you up a little bit. Start with the from you said what is significant to you is the video of him still in the store being escorted.
No, not still in the store. I'm talking about the outside store camera video of the original contact in his by his car.
You're talking about the video of him with his back up against what do you call that? The gate that protects the storefront?
I don't think it was there. I think he was leaning up against his car.
Oh, he was also leaning up against his car, but there was a video of him sitting in front of a store that had the gate down.
Okay, if in fact that was, did they show the initial police contact at that location as compared
they
to
showed,
at his car?
They showed something, I saw something of a contact, but nothing in great detail. It was the first interaction, it seemed, although I can't say that to be sure, because it wasn't said to be the very first contact they had with him. But it was in the police responding getting into the situation with him.
Okay, so my question is how did he get underneath the, what is it, the front, back, I guess it's the back, the right rear tire with Chauvin and the other two police officers kneeling on each part of his body? What would you have to do to get from the store, which is across the street, correct?
Yes, but you're doing something that it's a bit premature to do, and that is to analyze the case based on an incomplete set of information. What I'd like you to do instead is say for yourself, what is significant about this case? What major issues does this case raise? Rather than... We have to wait to see some of the evidence that they're suggesting and submitting. But I don't want us to, you know what I mean? I don't want us, without having a comprehensive account to point to begin to analyze the case as if we know all the facts.
I'll give you three things. One, that the case is proceeding as if there is no talk of the plea deal that was rejected by, and I don't understand this, I only heard this, so someone would have to explain this to me. I heard a news story, quote unquote, that the defense attempted to get a do a plea deal, let's do it this way, and plead to the third degree murder charge, and that William Barr rejected the deal, which doesn't make any sense to me.
William Barr,
do you have any
being...
information on that?
But William Barr, you just said the name, but you didn't say the significance of William Barr.
Oh, he's the attorney general. He was at the time that the deal was offered, or the defense was negotiating the deal. that somehow William Barr had something to say about it. The former Attorney General of the United States.
Okay. And why is that significant?
Well, one, this is a state trial. Why should he have anything to say about any of it? Two, how does that mechanism work? I've never heard of any attorney general intervening in a state court system in with regard to a particular plea arrangement. And two, if he's willing to cop a plea to third degree murder, what is the concern about him perhaps only, quote unquote, only being convicted of manslaughter? And what was the whole fight about reinstating the third degree murder charge? I can understand the defense fighting, but there was no mention that he's already sought a deal to plead guilty to the crime.
Well, I don't know that about the so-called deal.
Let me take the word deal out. His attorneys attempted to plead to a lesser charge, which is the third degree murder charge, and they were in negotiations with the prosecution on doing that. And somehow William Barr, the former attorney general, interjected and the deal was quashed. So we wouldn't have even needed this trial.
It should have been, right? He has no particular immediate jurisdiction over this. This is a state matter, and it should be handled within the state as it was. So let's move on. So the case is starting today. Move from that point. That's what you keep going back. I want to know from here on to the rest of, is there something going on the phone?
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm hearing noises. From this point on, as the case starts, what should we pay particular attention to from this point on as the case starts today?
How the evidence is presented, especially context.
Okay, and why?
Well, it appears that there is a lot of emotion connected to this particular prosecution, and the drier, the more methodical the prosecution is, I think the more that we can establish that there is quote unquote rule of law as compared to emotional response.
Okay. You gave it a good try. But have to do another
one. It wasn't up to your standards. I ask your forgiveness.
No. It's not about standards. It's that, remember, I talk all the time about in making presentations, you want to keep track of what you're asked. What is the question in play? And are you close to satisfying the question, giving an answer that satisfies the question? But you made a great, great attempt. Thanks so much for getting us started today.
Let me just state the question as I understood it to see if I'm tracking. The question was, starting from the beginning of the trial today, what is the most important thing that we can learn Oh no, what is the most important issue that needs to be not explained, that needs to be focused on? Was that close to the question?
It's close, but
All
the
right, I'll
question
listen.
we had
Thank
to
you so much.
do, it's close, but not close enough.
Yeah, really. So
You're
I'm not
asked
even in the
to
ballpark.
anticipate where the case is going to go. What will emerge in the span of time that the case takes? What will emerge, do you think, as the most important points in this case? What will emerge? What will come to light as being extremely important to learn and to know? And we just, it's one of those things, I guess, you have to wait to see. But I think we have one or two good ideas by now about what this case means and what you anticipate would happen, especially on the part of the defense. Not so much, we kind of know where the prosecution is going, but where is the defense going? What is the defense going to be? You got us started today, Daryl. So thank you so much for your contribution. 888-874-4888. Maybe I need to make a comment here just to help things along. In every case, especially a high-profile case like this, in which there is such a division, a sharp division, between, let's say, people who are leaning toward the prosecution or people leaning toward the defense, what is the basis for reaction? What is hitting home to those people observing this case unfold? What is hitting home as being important to pay attention to, even as it unfolds? And we get to that point because, not because we are expert jurors, or expert prosecutors and expert defense lawyers, but because we have a gut feeling. And in this particular case, we have some additional information about the circumstances of the case that ended with George Floyd's very violent death. And we want to be able to place ourselves in that courtroom also as a juror. We are judging the case based on the so-called facts that are being presented or we expect to be presented during the course of the trial. But just the same, even now, even without the case getting too deep in the court, we have some ideas about what concerns us about this case that either would be disturbing or we would find that they are right on the mark in raising these questions, whether for the defense or for the prosecution. It's a very important case. As you know, it's a very high profile and controversial case. The whole nation is watching it very closely because those things that we haven't gotten to yet are already factors in the case. Can you surmise what some of these factors may be and how they will play out during the course of the trial? Do you have any idea? Do you have doubts? Do you have newer convictions that reinforce your previous convictions about the case and how it might turn out? Let's hear you. 888-874-4888. I don't see you. So maybe this is a good time to take a break. We'll see. We'll take a break and come back, give you some time to think. I know you're kind of nervous, but don't be. There's no right or wrong in that sense. We're looking for what your experience has told you, what your gut feeling tells you. We're looking for your visceral reaction to this case and the circumstances of this case as it starts today. So let me see if we have one caller coming in before the break. We'll take the call at 888-874-4888. This is going to be a very important case. So let's take a break and come back to your questions and to your statements and to your analysis right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the Derek Chauvin trial, which gets underway today in Minneapolis. As you know, Derek Chauvin is the first of what would or should be four police officers involved in the violent arrest of George Floyd. And you know that he died during that exchange. And that's the reason for the trial. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm thinking about your question. And what comes to mind to me is the basics here in what we call the United States of America. And a basic thing is that the concept of white supremacy racism reigns supreme in the country all over. And this is a situation where a phenotype, what we call white people, a white police officer, has murdered a so-called black citizen. And in this case, where this is a very common thing, where many white police officers have killed black people in arresting them, or maybe, let's say, in many cases. So that's the chief thing. Now,
But one thing I want to caution, you can't or shouldn't say that he murdered him. We don't know that yet.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the point is he killed him. He killed him. And that's, I guess that's a fact. But we don't know
yet.
Whether
fact,
he's considered a murder or whatever. But the point is, that is the chief factor as I see it. And with the, let's say, the prosecution, usually they are in favor or lean towards law enforcement. So that's a situation that is against going for the heaviest punishment if he's convicted. So that's what I see is important to notice. Now, if there was not photographic evidence and that was available in this case, I kind of feel that this would be, unfortunate, and that would be the end of it. The difference is the fact that there's photographic evidence of what happened. And I think that's the difference. And in this case, being that it's noticed worldwide, they feel that something has to be done. So
here's the thing.
They're going
to
do
this trial. in the course of this trial, the medical examiner's report will be introduced and will determine, will officially state the cause of death. So far, the medical examiner has already indicated that cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression was the cause of death. And the manner of death, says the medical examiner's report, is homicide. So that has to be tested in a court of law. Mm-hmm. No matter what we saw or thought we saw, that is going to be debated heavily in a court of law, because that is the so-called official cause of death. So it wasn't just a one-sided thing, according to the medical examiner's report and findings, that the officer, the former officer, actually killed him. Again, let me repeat what it says. Cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement subdual. That seems to suggest heavily that the cause of death was with a health problem or a major health issue on the part of George Floyd. But the medical examiner's report says complicating law enforcement subdual. So Derek Chauvin is not off the hook here, even in the medical examiner's report. Complicating law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression. But the medical examiner's report emphasizes that the manner of death was homicide. But again, that will come up in the court of law, and that would be tested furiously in the court during this trial. David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. I'm here. I listened to what you said. Another thing that should come up is that there are ways that police officers, I'm sure, are trained how to restrain people. And in this case, you had four people there, and I doubt very much if kneeling on the person's neck is an official method that is taught for police officers to restrain people. So he was going outside the usual procedures for restraining a person who is being arrested. That's another thing I'll think would come up. Another thing would be, what is the procedure for dealing with a case like this? Why was he arrested in the first place? If you go into a store and you present a bill and someone thinks it's a bad bill, they say, well, this doesn't look right, and they won't take it. Does that mean that if I go to a store and I've been given some change of maybe $20 bills, and I go somewhere else and present it, that I can just be arrested, even though I may not know that's a counterfeit bill? You see, so there are a number of things that come up here that I think are important, and that's the way I see it. So this particular police officer, he is the unlucky one, because there are pictures of what he did. If there weren't the pictures, I think he would be getting off scot-free.
All right. You make some very strong points. Very strong points. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Teresa, how's it going?
Okay. How's about you?
Oh,
what do you think
hanging in there.
Is going to emerge in this case that
Hello? Hello? Hello?
I'm listening. Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, you kind of went out, so you were talking and then I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I'm saying that this is what everybody should be paying attention to as this case unfolds. There are some things here that are universal, that go beyond not just the death of George Floyd, but so many other people have run into death at the hands of police in very contentious circumstances. We'll see how it works, how it plays out in this trial. Thank you so much.
Hello?
But what are you thinking?
Oh, well, you know, I think the focus for the prosecution, not the prosecution, but the defense, will actually be on George Floyd and him being a threat to Derek Chauvin. Obviously, one of the things that they said in the opening statement was that that George Floyd actually died from an overdose, which was actually preposterous. Like, I mean, what video were they seeing? But they're gonna try to attempt to prove that. And
but of course, we're seeing a video. We don't know what's happening on the inside of George Floyd at the moment.
Yes,
we have no idea what the chemical situation is with him at the moment that the video is taking place and showing us the interaction. We have no idea.
So what they're trying to do, from my perspective, is that George Floyd was on drugs, because obviously you can't overdose if you're not taking, you know, if you're not taking drugs. But at that time, they're going to prove that George Floyd was not human, and he was a threat to Officer Chauvin at the time. So Officer Chauvin had to take the necessary steps to subdue George Floyd, and obviously, you know, he died in as a result of it. But this actually points out to what's going to happen from this point on, what's going to happen to what they call qualified immunity. So obviously they're going to make a case that George Floyd was a threat because he was on drugs and Officer Chauvin's life was in jeopardy. And if this case turns out to be the fact that, you know, if Chauvin is convicted of second degree murder, then qualified immunity is going to be reconsidered. I think this will be like a landmark case, not in the sense of getting rid of qualified immunity, but I think it will be heavily reconsidered if he is actually convicted of murder. Now,
here's what the medical examiner says. This is the official medical examiner's report describing significant conditions contributing to George Floyd's death.
Mm-hmm.
Medical examiner lists, this is the list, arteriosclerotic and hypertensive heart disease, fentanyl intoxication, and recent methamphetamine use.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do to your theory now?
Well, you know, I'm not a medical expert. I understand some of the terms, but I can't technically, you know, mesh them together in a in a proper sense, because like I said, I'm not a medical expert, but For me, it goes back to what they're trying to prove, that he was on drugs. And
well,
he was a
they're
threat.
Also trying to prove, and this is what I gather from the list and the order in which these so-called conditions, the significant conditions, appear. The first is arteriosclerotic and hypertensive heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Then fentanyl intoxication, and mm-hmm. then recent methamphetamine use.
And that's where they're going to prove that he was high or he was on drugs.
And that he was already, he was literally dying on his feet. Look at what they said, arteriosclerotic and hypertensive heart disease. So mm-hmm. in the charged, emotionally charged situation between Coven and Floyd, is it possible that he, is it the making the case that he died really of a heart attack? Do you hear that at all?
Well, I mean, the I would probably say that when I'm hearing the medical examiner's report, the way you're saying it, it does suggest that the end of his life was a heart attack. But now the question comes into play: how did this heart attack come about? Was it because
of the drug? In the first part. He addressed that in the first part that I read. Cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression. So in both cases, the medical examiner's report would seem to suggest that Chauvin did not directly cause his death.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem that there's a suggestion here that George Floyd's medical problems kicked in and played the major part of the reason that he died. Or am I misinterpreting this?
No, and I agree with your assessment as well, because I'm hearing the same thing. But then when you went on and talked about the fentanyl and other, you know, chemicals, that I was listening to what you were saying. Like I said, I'm not a medical professional, but when I hear certain chemical, you know, certain foreign chemicals in the body, and going back to the defense's opening statement about, you know, George Floyd dying from an overdose, to me that's what I think they're going to pinpoint on the fentanyl and some, you know, the other chemical that you had mentioned in the medical report as well.
Okay. So we're seeing, I just want to bring it further out, even in the reports of the medical examiner, we're seeing and we should be expecting to hear proof of how George Floyd died primarily as a result of his massive heart problems. And then with the contributing significant factors of drug use. But again, even in the second part that I read, the first things that appear include arteriosclerotic and hypertensive heart disease. That was above fentanyl intoxication and recent methamphetamine use.
Mm-hmm.
So it would seem as if the prosecution is going to be pretty much saying that, I mean, the defense will pretty much say that it wasn't Chauvin who killed George Floyd. It was these latent but very serious medical conditions and the contact, basically the contact between Chauvin and Floyd aggravated the medical, serious medical conditions that he had, and that's what caused him to die. I fully expect that that will emerge as an argument in the trial.
Oh, yeah. Definitely so. But, you know, I was looking at the drug, you know, the drug use, because obviously, you know, when black people are high, they become inhuman because, you know, we have this, there's this thing with white supremacy that when we're high, then, you know, we don't feel any pain. So that's what I feel is going to come out in the trial.
Possibly so, but it would, I think the issue would rest heavily on the medical examiner's own. I mean, he put the order to what he thinks, you know, in order of seriousness and severity, what exactly caused the death of George Floyd. And it wasn't physical restraint, although he mentions that there was a cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement subdual. In other words, in the course of subduing George Floyd, Floyd suffered cardiopulmonary arrest. That is a huge factor to argue about. And I think that basically defines where the both sides are going to lock arms on and fight over, because what we go by usually in a homicide, and this was deemed to be a homicide, you try to make it very clear. And the medical examiner's report seems to make it clear. Cardiopulmonary arrest complicating. In other words, George Floyd's own medical issues complicated the arrest. He was experiencing cardiopulmonary arrest during the enforcement, the law enforcement subdual. In other words, during Chauvin's contact with him as he attempted to make Floyd's arrest. See, that's to me is the whole case right there.
That's interesting. I'm gonna definitely look more into that.
Yeah, it is not a simple thing. It is a very interesting conclusion arrived at by the medical examiner, who is supposed to be a totally impartial party, and whose job it is to determine the cause of death. Chauvin's position and his lawyer's position is that George Floyd died essentially at his own hand. He was the cause of his own death. He was not in good shape. He had these major heart problems. And whether it was the arrest or the events that occurred during the arrest or something else, he would have died anyway. Because that level of excitement, that jolt that he experienced would have caused him to die anyway, because he was in such delicate shape. This is a big one.
It sounds
familiar to the Eric Garner case, if you ask me.
Exactly. Exactly like the Eric Garner case.
Wow.
But look at the language. When you read the language, you see where the case ought to go, but probably would not go. The medical examiner's report is a medical examiner's report, but from my reading, I would say that the medical examiner's report provides enough ammunition to call into question whether it was Chauvin that caused George Floyd's death, or whether it was George Floyd's extremely delicate state of health, that he could have died any time in any other circumstance if it were if it allowed him to become as excited and involved, it could have triggered his death. So that is the question on the table. How did he die? What actually caused this man to die? And it should be a major part of the trial, I would expect. Thank you for calling in and contributing. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Tony. What are you thinking?
I think everybody pretty much that called today had, I think you guys all covered it all today. The only one thing that I would add, just so that I'm not redundant with everything that everyone said, is the fact that they had already restrained George Floyd. He was already in the police vehicle, from what I understand, in the beginning, and was having complications breathing and was complaining of when you're in a tight space.
Forgetting the word for it myself, but I know what you mean.
Basically, he was complaining about
claustrophobia.
He was being claustrophobic, which was a result of the fact that he had drugs in the system. They already knew his health condition going into this, and if I'm not mistaken, while they were restraining him outside of the vehicle on the ground, there were paramedics there. Weren't there paramedics there at the time?
No. The paramedics came with the ambulance.
It was afterwards? Because I swore there were paramedics there. I'm not sure if there were paramedics there.
I didn't see any.
Because from the way I'm seeing it, the reason they were restraining him, we got to look into what was their original excuse for them restraining him. They didn't restrain him because he was being violent towards the officers per se. They were restraining him because of his medical condition, from what I understood from the beginning. So if we're going to look at it that way, they basically did medical malpractice on him, from what I'm seeing. So those reports, yeah. He had heart conditions, which many of us, I have a high cholesterol, many of us have. He had those underlying health issues. If he was on drugs, that didn't help anything. And the way they were restraining him most definitely didn't help the situation. So the fact that he was complaining about his medical condition while he was in the vehicle, they already knew he had a medical issue at hand. It wasn't because he was trying to run away or anything like that. See, the way they're trying to paint it is like, oh, this is somebody that's being violent and wants to run away and get away from the police. So we have to, you know, run after him, tackle him to the ground and forcefully and put the handcuffs on him. You know, it wasn't that type of situation. So from what I saw, I think there's video of him kicking the door from inside of the vehicle. He was already in the vehicle. They let him out of the vehicle to put him on the ground and do what they did to him. And another thing, if I'm not mistaken, I think Derek Chauvin was not the original police officer on site. I think he came afterwards.
Yes, he
so
did
the
come
personal
afterwards.
Relationship, the personal relationship, you know, when they hear these things, you know, these calls on the radio and stuff, these personal relationship that he might have had from previous might have contributed heavily on him in the way he restrained him. So definitely the restraining of George Floyd played a major, major, major impact, even though they state three different reasons for his death. The major one was the pulmonary asphyxiation, the pressure on the neck.
Well, we will see what comes out of today's proceedings. We will continue because we have quite a few people wanting to talk about this.
We will continue
tomorrow.
Real quick, another
yes.
thing is like what Henry was saying is that black people, we're not given the same attention when it comes to health problems and the serious and taking the seriousness of our health problems. And that is the major contributor. That is why I'm saying that they don't take our health issues seriously. That's why a lot of us die, especially during these times of COVID, where they just tell you to go home. They don't give you any treatment. I know a lot of people that have come down with COVID, and when they've tried to call, they have antibody treatments right now that are supposed to knock it out of your system. Two people so far have been denied treatment that I know of. So
all right, we have to leave it there.
Health issues seriously.
Certainly, if you want to, you can continue tomorrow because we have several people in queue waiting to do just that. But this is a major point of contention, I think, in this case. So let's meet up again tomorrow and continue the conversation. Bye-bye.